This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Michelle Martin is away. Coming up, we'll sit down with MacArthur Genius Fellow Maurice Lim Miller and talk about what some call his groundbreaking work on poverty. But first, it's time for Faith Matters. That's the part of the program when we talk about faith, religion, and spirituality. Many of us are familiar with significant spending on religious holidays and rituals, like massive Christmas parties and lavish bar mitzvahs. But now we want to focus on the luxurious side of a critical ritual for Muslims, the Hajj. Today is Eid al-Adha, but it's the second day of the Hajj. Yesterday, an estimated 2 million Muslims began the four-day pilgrimage outside Mecca, Saudi Arabia. Every Muslim is required to make this pilgrimage at least once in a lifetime, and it can be a transformative experience for the faithful. It can also be hot, crowded, and exhausting. But for those who are willing to shell out the big bucks, there are VIP alternatives. Here to tell us more is Jamal El-Shayal. He's a reporter and senior producer with Al Jazeera English, and he joins us from MENA, one of the main sites of the pilgrimage outside Mecca. Welcome.
Hi, good to be with you.
If you want to get a taste of the Hajj, there's actually a live webcam that streams the Hajj 24 hours a day. So let's take a listen here. So, Jamal El-Shayal, and we should explain, you're on a cell phone in an extraordinarily crowded city of MENA outside the Hajj. But maybe you can start us off by briefly explaining what the Hajj is and why it's so important for Muslims.
Well, essentially, Hajj is the fifth pillar of Islam. The idea behind it from an Islamic perspective is to bring all of God's creations on a level playing field and to shed any differences that may be between us due to worldly things, so for example, wealth or race or language or background, to shed that in exchange for two simple white cloths that Muslims wear around them in order to make it impossible for you to know who is the prince, who is the pauper, who is the rich person, who is the poor person, and essentially bringing together all these different backgrounds, all these different races on one level footing with the acknowledgement that it is what is in your heart that God will judge you on and not what title you may have in this world or how much money you might have in your bank account.
And yet, despite all of that, what we're talking about today are VIP alternatives, which seem to be kind of going in the face of what you say is the purpose of the Hajj. Can you explain what the VIP, the luxury options are for the Hajj?
I think it is a very important topic that you are talking about, but we have to look at it in context. Those who will do this so-called VIP Hajj or something that is a lot more luxurious than the usual pilgrimage is barely even 1%. It is less than 30,000 people you'll find. Rather than, you know, getting stuck in the hustle and bustle and the people traffic, they will pay large amounts of money to companies that essentially use this as a tourist service. So what they'll do, they'll put them up in a very luxurious hotels and apartments that are overlooking the Grand Mosque to the extent where people, for example, rather than going down and praying in the mosque, because their apartment looks over it, they will conduct their five prayers from that hotel room or that apartment. And that idea may be one of the indicative signs that view it. So the authorities here haven't been able to strike the balance between the spiritual aspect of the pilgrimage and the commercial aspect that comes hand in hand with any large gathering of any sort. Striking that balance maybe hasn't been done as well or as tastefully as many Muslims would like.
Tastefully, I would imagine you're talking about the world's second tallest building, the replica of Big Ben, which now towers over the mosque. But although you say that it's only 1% of pilgrims that choose these VIP packages, the impact of that 1% seems to be pretty severe. I mean, we're talking about security guards going down and clearing a place in the line of pilgrims so they can walk freely and not have to brush up against other pilgrims. We're talking about people whose hotel towers actually obstruct your view of the surrounding hills. What kind of problems this is causing with the other 99% of pilgrims?
Well, you know, say it is a reflection of the mismanagement and inability of those governing authorities in charge of Mecca to ensure that something like that doesn't hinder the pilgrimage. As far as a lot of pilgrims are concerned, though, because so many of the millions of people who've come here literally have been yearning for the chance to come on this journey, many of them have spent their life savings, others have waited, you know, year after year, their visas being rejected until they finally were able to be part of that quota of those allowed to come to Hajj. I think whilst a lot of them look at these things negatively, but their joy and the euphoria they feel about being in what they consider to be the most holy place, walking in what they consider to be the footsteps of their beloved prophet, that kind of overshadows it. I think it's only when they reminisce looking back, or when they go back home, that they look at it and they think, well, you know, this surely shouldn't be like this. I mean, from my perspective as a journalist, looking at it not from a spiritual or religious perspective, just from a practical point of view, there are huge question marks as to the wisdom behind how these things have been planned. You look at the trajectory of how the number of pilgrims increases year on year, and you realize that the Grand Mosque needs much more expansion. But because they constantly build these massive towers, which essentially engulf or suffocate the Grand Mosque, you are then limiting yourself to how many customers, how many pilgrims can come to you. So from whichever way you look at it, there really has to be a reassessment by the authorities as to why and how these things are being done. Even if, like I say, if it's not in light of the spiritual duty they have to maintain and upkeep the holiest place on earth as far as Muslims are concerned, even from a commercial perspective, it really doesn't make any sense.
Jamal El-Shayal is a reporter and senior producer for Al Jazeera English. He joined us by cell phone from MENA, where it's very crowded. He's covering the 4-day Hajj pilgrimage. Happy Eid to you, Jamal. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.